hot diggity damn, it's draped in gold, and can you believe it? We're just days away from a brand new year. Hello, everyone. My name is Hobo Boyce, and we're streaming live on that Facebook, that LinkedIn, that X, that YouTube, that Trovo, and Instagram Live. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm not being joined by Jack Farmer. He's out there fighting crime. I'm being joined by the upgrade, George Hermosa.
Oh, hey. I'm just here, you know. I didn't know. Oh, wow. What a coincidence. I'm reading The Future Is Now, the NXT book, but this came out like 6 years ago.
Back yeah, when, is it a biography? Not a biography, but it's like a nonfiction how-to? Yeah.
It came out like, you know, a few years ago, kind of the history of NXT and the evolution. Obviously, there is a lot that isn't on here because this book came out, you know, before the 2.0, but right. Yeah.
I would pay good money to see a 2.0 book hit the store shelves. But look, it's the holiday season. The end of the line, the last original episode of wrestling content without a recap show was last night for NXT. The results are already out there, but we're not going to talk about that. George, before I get into the matches and fisticuffs, it's been a while, man. I know you've been working on some things. Where can I see what you're doing?
You can see a lot of what I'm personally doing, like on Instagram and social media, a couple commercials that I've, you know, helped produce and whatnot. But I still got some wrestling content, you know, in the archives, the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel. We're going to hopefully put out some more new content in 2024, nice. You know, alongside maybe MJF, who obviously he'll be in 2024, but who knows where the Wrestling Chatter will be in 2024.
Probably out there producing movies and being a Hall of Famer. Thanks for watching on this streaming service. Make sure your comments are below. Answer them at will. Let's get into it, though. Our main event was the second coming of the NXT reboot. NXT Underground, Eddie Thorpe, Dijak. We like both these guys, but at the end of the day, it was Eddie Thorpe saying, I got the dub. Two questions for you, George Hermosa. One, thoughts about the match. And two, what's next for these two?
The match was great. I like how it's evolved from Raw Underground. There were a lot of kinks. That needed to be fixed when it was Raw Underground. But I think it fits perfect for NXT Underground. But with that said, I mean, it was great. I liked it. Eddie Thorpe was obviously is a rising star. Dijak is somebody who I think plays his role perfectly in NXT. You know, wait and see to see if it can maybe translate to the main roster. But in the meantime, I think he, with the experience that he has, I think it fits perfect for NXT and putting guys over like an Eddie Thorpe, who we all know that has that New Japan Dojo background. And yeah, but like I said, it was hard hitting, physical, everything that NXT Underground needs to be, and makes me look forward to the next NXT Underground match.
Well, riddle me this. As long as Dijak has been on the NXT roster, he picks fights but can't finish them. Does he stay in NXT, you think? Does he take his bags and go to the red brand or the blue brand? What would you do for Dijak right now?
Unfortunately, maybe this is positive or negative feedback, who knows? But I don't think he's got enough luster, I guess you can say, or maybe enough momentum for anybody to be saying, man, I do want to see him on the main roster one more time, especially now that he doesn't have the mask or the silly name. So I think it does stick around for him in NXT and kind of see what's next for him. Maybe somebody else, like somebody who knows? I know there's a lot of matches happening next year next week on New Year's Evil. So maybe, you know, maybe some of the fallout. Maybe he can be Trick Williams' next opponent, whether or not he wins or loses. Obviously, Trick Williams is getting better and better every single week, every single year, every single month. Who else than somebody like Dijak, who's somebody his size that can match up with them and kind of seriously, you know, help him, guide him and into the next level. As far as Eddie Thorpe goes, maybe North American Championship.
I like him. But you mentioned Trick Williams. I want to jump ahead to that because all episode we were wondering what was going to happen to Ilya Dragunov after being dumped on his head by Ridge Holland. It's kind of weird. It's canon now, but whatever. Took on the neck brace. Trick Williams is going to face Ilya Dragunov. It's still on for New Year's Evil next week. And, well, the match is going to be hard-hitting, that we know. But have you bought into the Trick Williams train? And if so, when did you jump on?
I jumped on around a few months ago. I like that they didn't rush him because obviously, and you know, sorry for sidetracking a little bit. He kind of jumped in out of nowhere, you know, when 2.0 started. It's like, oh, hey, what's up, you know, Trick Williams. It's like, who the hell are you? Like, no video package, no Carmelo saying, hey, man, I got a buddy that I'm going to start bringing in. You know, he just literally jumped in out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, okay, sure. But they didn't rush him in matches. You know, obviously he had one match here and there. But when he was ready, he was ready. And when he, you know, started wrestling regularly a few months ago, I'm like, oh, okay, like this guy can go. And obviously Booker T hyping him up on a regular basis, it kind of makes you look forward to, you know, him coming out and the entrance music. But yeah, that what's the match called? The one that just happened. Iron Survivor Challenge.
Yeah.
Like, holy moly. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm all in. The crowd's all in. And yeah, so I don't think he's going to win next week. I think it's a little bit too soon right now, but I'm really excited to see the fight that he's going to give to Ilya.
It's a really peculiar position to be in, right? If you're Ilya Dragunov, you just became champ. Not just become. You were champ for about 3 months now. And you are injured, or it looked like you were injured by Ridge Holland. You had an opportunity to do the match later. He says no, but I feel like either way, it's going to be a lose-lose. Because if Ilya wins, it's going to be like, oh, well, Trick wasn't really a threat. But if Ilya loses, it's like, oh, my gosh, it's because he got dumped on his head. Mm-hmm. Which one is it there, George?
It's going to be, I think Ilya is going to win, and I think he's going to gut it out. I think we've seen Ilya kind of really show his inner fire. So we're going to see that come out. We're going to see a whole new side of Ilya. And especially because, and again, no offense to Trick. Obviously, I'm praising Trick in every single way.
All the offense.
But we've seen Ilya, what he can do against a guy that has, you know, like Carmelo, who doesn't have maybe the huge independent background, but we've all seen that he can go against guys like Ricochet, against guys like, you know, like Bron Breakker that can carry somebody. We've seen what Ilya can do against a Gunther. Obviously, that was match of the year. Was it 2020 or 2021?
Yeah.
But now we're going to see a guy, we're going to see him go up against somebody who not needs to be carried, but just obviously a guy that doesn't have that pedigree that the other ones have, and I think that they're going to bring out the best of each other.
Well, I got to be that guy and say Dragunov and Walter at the time fought twice. I still think the one on NXT UK was vastly superior, but that's just me. I'm the NXT UK guy. I missed that show so much.
I think that was the one that everybody was like kind of cringeworthy, but in a good way of all those chops was like, yeah. Oh my God, like, will somebody stop the madness? You know, right. my chest hurts after that match.
Yeah. I wonder if someone's going to do one of those like Walter Gunther by the numbers and chops. That'd be just ridiculous. You talk about the Iron Survivor Challenge, jumping ahead of here because we're on rails in this episode. One person I thought really stuck out for me was Josh Briggs. Now, Josh Briggs had an opportunity this week to be the Heritage Cup champion. It gets a very slippery Noam Dar metaphor in tow. Josh Briggs decided to go at it alone, which is never smart when it comes to the numbers game, but Josh had a one-pin advantage, and he threw it all away. Disgusting display of lack of sportsmanship.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of shows the inexperience of some people sometimes. But yeah, but then we saw the aftermath of you know, Briggs, Jensen, and
Fallon.
I always get Fallon Henley and Tatum Paxley confused.
I got a whole Kalani Jordan and Kiana James thing, so I get it.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll mix it up. You know, the Fatum Hexley. You know,
that's like a finishing maneuver.
Yeah.
Fatum Hexley. There's a cover.
But we'll see how that goes. But let me ask you something.
Is
that clip of Brooks Jensen coming out your journey real? And when was that? I can't find that like actual match anywhere.
I think it was ad hoc created because I really feel like the production was like, oh wow, this guy really hasn't done much with everyone compared to everybody else. So I don't remember that one happening at all. But
because I saw clips of like, you know, like, oh man, he comes out to Journey, Separate Ways by Journey. And I'm like, dude, that looks, that's a great, I mean, I know I saw some indie guy be like, oh, I came out to it first.
Right,
But yeah, I was like, dude, did that really happen? I know not on NXT 2.0.
Sure, it might be
like on a level up or something, but I'm like, I can't find that match anywhere. Is that like a legit clip?
I don't remember because the one times a few times I've seen Level Up with Brooks Jensen on, they had the original Josh Briggs Brooks Jensen song.
That, yeah,
But I haven't that's way cheaper, I guess, because why would you spend that money on Level Up, to be honest with you? But that's the issue I have there. Josh Briggs, like, he's gonna be a solo star. I'm on board. I thought Iron Survivor was his coming out party. Fountain Henley, it's solid. I think she's a good enough character that can translate on Monday or Friday nights, but looks like Brooks is feeling what we're all feeling watching the screen this week.
I think, I mean, what else can they do? You know, I mean, obviously they were NXT UK tag team champions. It doesn't look like
the final one.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to be in contention of NXT tag team championships at all. But with that said, like, I mean, if as long as we kind of see them each evolve into something, I'm all for it. If there's one thing I hate the most, it's when they split up a tag team that we all love, you know, Iconics, and they do nothing with each one. Like, I get it, even if they end up doing something with one of them, right, and then the other, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, like even like Crime Time, like, you did nothing with each one. So why even break them up? Why break up such a good thing? And I get it. Maybe they tried and then they failed.
Oh, that's what happened. Not, with Crime
just put Time. It back together. Like, just then put it back together. You know, go New Age Outlaws. Like, they broke up for a little bit and then they ended up getting back together because they knew that they're the best when they're with each other. So I just hope that, my point is, I hope that doesn't happen with Briggs and Jensen.
Well, in Crime Time's case, it really was Shad Gaspar's time to be like, it's my time. But it is, I guess the crowd didn't instantly attach to Shad, rest his soul, but it looked like they pulled the plug way too soon. And it was kind of like, what do we do now if this guy's a heel? Ezekiel Jackson had a very similar trajectory where it's like, oh, he's a big guy, he's happy. Oh, he's mean. The core, you know, but I'm with you, Derek. You know, like, look, a lot of us on Draped in Gold, Jack Farmer, Jamal Alexander, we always say Josh Briggs is a star. Brooke Jensen was an afterthought, but Brooks has the pedigree. I hope he has a path for making himself someone special.
Yeah, I did. I mean, the storyline with Kiana James, that really brought out the personality in every single one of them. So hopefully, you know, obviously, hopefully we see them a lot more.
Well, let's talk about personality and breaking out with that breakout tournament. Your boy, Lexus King, was in a match against someone I thought would be a giant underdog in Riley Osborne, but Riley gets the dub. The former Josh Morrell from NXT UK, Thea Hell's in the audience. It was a big thing. Riley Osborne's going to the finals. One, Lexus King is not. Two, talk to me about this one.
I was actually very surprised at this. I was very shocked at this finish. Yeah, I thought it was going to be the Lexus King show all the way. But you know, the Chase U student, comes in and maybe in some ways picks up the upset.
Yeah. Well, thinking about Chase U, you have Thea Hell back rooting for him. Why not? You know, why would you join Chase U if the financial troubles it has, but if you have faculty and staff like Thea and JC, stick around a bit, man.
Yeah.
Thoughts about Lexus King, though, as a character? I know in AEW, it's Brian Pillman Jr. looked like it was leaning on that 100%. Lexus wants to be his own man, gets entangled with Trey Bearhill, not out of the tournament. As it is right now, state of 100 days, how do you feel about Lexus King on the roster?
I think he gets unfairly criticized all over the X, you know, all over the formerly Twitter. He's in NXT for a reason, right? If this was Raw, SmackDown, I completely understand. But there people are down there that to develop, to flourish, to see what's gonna hit, what's gonna miss. I think I like the switch. I know a lot of people were upset at the whole name change and kind of getting rid of the Brian Pillman lineage. But I dig it. I think sometimes, and I can go on and on about this.
On and on.
You can who has that song? Oh, Erykah Badu. So you can go two ways. You can become Charlotte Flair, or you can become Ted DiBiase Jr. Like, sometimes having that last name can be detrimental, and I think for Lexus King, he wasn't going to allow that to happen. So, and if anybody knows Brian Pillman Jr., knows that Lexus King means, as a name, means just as much to him as being Brian Pillman Jr. So I like that he's got trying to find his new path. But yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen so far. He's not getting called up anytime soon. So I'm digging what I see so far.
Well, I mean, shout out to Lacey Von Erich talking about lineages. But look, Trey Bearhill got involved in this matchup after being hit with a chair 2 weeks ago. And so Lexus King tangled with Carmelo and Trick. That was kind of like when you play a new video game, you have all the power-ups in the first level, and you start back over, you think? Or is this an opportunity for Trey Bearhill to leapfrog his spot?
I think we're going to see a little bit more Alexis King. I think they play it really good as far as balancing the brand new names. Because even a lot of, if you ask me who the eight guys in the breakout tournament are, I can't remember all eight.
I can't believe it.
Was Miles Bourne in it? He was in the first round, right?
Yeah, Miles Bourne, Deion Lennox, Alexis King / Trey Berrihill, Obafemi, Tavion Heights. Did I say Deion Lennox already? I did.
Yeah.
That's five. I am drunk. Riley Osborne was number six. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's a lot of getting to know in the next few months. So I think we already kind of got to know Alexis King a little bit. So we're going to see a little bit more of him.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to Keenan in the chat. Says, I found it interesting that how Briggs was all smiles and Fallon was there when they broke up. But when she walked away, Briggs was angry at Brooks. And I got to be honest with you there, Keenan, like Josh Briggs kind of knew that Brooks was holding him back. Like, I think that was kind of the thing. It was always like, got to go out there on my own. Yeah, I didn't have a crew. Maybe I need a new crew. The family thing is great. The bar thing is great. But unless you have things in the bar, it kind of is weird. So I'll be mad at Brooks, too. He cost me money.
You said the bar, right?
One of my favorite modern tag teams of all time. We are the bar.
Every time I heard him say that, I thought they were going to say DeBarge. We are DeBarge. To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
That is a joke for the over 35 set. I appreciate it. What's your thoughts about Ava being an assistant general manager? What's up with that?
I mean, I dig it. I mean, I mean, it's a good role to have. I mean, I think she's flourishing here more so as the Dyad. Obviously, the Dyad kind of broke up, maybe unwillingly, with what's the team? Zach Gibson and oh my god, I can't remember his name.
James Drake.
James Drake. Yeah, I do miss the way he would say soon. Because it's wait, is he going to say something else? Oh, he still said soon to be recognized. Yeah, that was great. I'm hoping we see that happen a lot in TNA, I guess you could say now. But I mean, I dig it. I mean, she obviously has a lot of personality. She's got obviously a very charismatic father. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I dig it. I like that they found the role for her. They're not just letting her, you know, flush away.
Charismatic father? You mean like Ariana Grace?
I love Ariana Grace.
Like, okay, tell me more.
Love her.
Tell me more.
It's more.
The beauty queen gimmick has been done a lot. What makes this one different?
I think it's more. She's just, you know, number one on my list as far as you know, attractiveness.
Oh.
I think Stax is a very lucky man. But I dig it. I think a lot of and also too, aside from that, I think a lot of her facials are great.
Yes.
A lot of the because it's one thing. Here's what I go on and on about all the time. Some people, it's not just about the facials. It's not just about the moves. It's not just about everything. Sometimes it's the way you fluctuate and dictate your voice.
Oh yeah,
and I think, you know, and that's what kind of makes a good actor or maybe a good performer. But in some ways, she does that so well. I love that promo of like her saying like oh, you know, if everybody needs just everybody should shower, you know, that one that you saw like a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
just the way she like her delivery, I guess you can say, was just top notch, and I think she's showing a lot of that, and I think doing it very well. But I'm excited. It's obviously second generation. Her dad, one of the best. I don't want to pit Santino Morella's comedic wrestler, but obviously he played his role and he did it top notch.
No, absolutely. I think her, to your point, I think her timing is her best asset. When she told Ava, like, oh man, she wants a rematch. Well, guess she's not having it then. And she goes, no, you're having a match. She goes, to me, that was like the best reaction ever. But I'll give it to you. She is gorgeous. I think the beauty queen thing fits her, but it's very similar to a lot of gimmicks that like Tiffany Stratton had before she became Buff Barbie. So I wonder what her next step is going to be.
Tiffany was daddy's girl.
Same thing. I'm rich and I'm more elegant than you are. Yeah. And that's what I hated. Daddy's little rich girl. I'm like, yeah. But yeah, Ava as assistant general manager, I would be fine with it, but you have to tell me why or how. And I guess I'm not getting that, but Shawn Michaels being like, oh, you're in a cult here, take half my job, is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, because we saw those, like, and obviously what WWE and NXT, obviously what they do is so great, and I think this is something that I love that they're doing, is sometimes you see a backstage segment and you see something else in the background. Because it's like, that's what it should be. I always thought, I think what's missing a lot in wrestling is like the spontaneity of like, why, like this is kind of a workplace in some ways, you know?
Right.
You know, like even when I worked in retail, it's like, I'd be doing something, but there's still things going around me that are still happening, right? And I think that's what I like about what we see. So even when we saw, you know, a couple, like a month or two ago, when we saw something happen in front of, you know, what some room, and then you see Ava in the background walking into Shawn Michaels' office.
Correct.
Like things like that I like. But yeah, I do agree in terms of like, how did she convince Shawn Michaels to kind of be the spokesperson for, you know, for him?
It's like, you're perfect. I got things to do. Speak about things that happened backstage. This one was kind of an interesting one on my match card. Carmen Petrovic had a match against Cora Jade because Cora showed up to her old locker and said, no, thank you. So I thought Carmen would get Cora's comeuppance, but no, the mean girl wins again. Now, Jim Alexander, a friend of the show, was here last week and says, Cora Jade is the future of NXT. Agree or disagree or why? The future is now. So fair.
I think so. I think, especially with who does she remind me? She reminds me of like a Jennifer Love Hewitt. She just has a lot of like similarities. But yeah,
also for the over 35 set. Like,
oh my god!
Kids don't know what the hell Jennifer Love Hewitt is.
I had the biggest crush on her.
Like, Zendaya is old now.
I bought the Can't Hardly Wait soundtrack.
Wow!
Without hearing a single song from it. Just because it had Jennifer Love Hewitt on the album cover.
It was a banger though.
It was a banger. It had like all these, like, you know, like Third Eye Blind, Blink-182, and like Busta Rhymes. Like such an eclectic, like overall, just like great mixture of everything. Anyways, but yeah, I do think Cora Jade. I think Cora and Roxanne are two people that are gonna be the future, not just of NXT, but also the WWE. I think that's gonna be that kind of AJ Styles, Caitlyn, Trish, Lita, we're going to see that in the future. I know they had their brush. They've already been NXT Tag Team Champions in the past, but when they both go up to the main roster, I think we're going to see even them at an even higher level, and I'm excited to see not just the future is Cora Jade. I think a lot of what we're going to see the best of is going to be now for Cora Jade, and she looks great. I'd put her in that Ariana Grace category.
Look, I gotta be honest with you, because with Roxanne, my issue was her character is at least pretty simple in that she's a prodigy. It gets kind of weird now as she approaches her 20s. Like, how long can you be a prodigy? But look at Cora Jade. Since her return, I don't really know who she is. She's
a mean girl.
But what does that mean?
Sometimes you just gotta you gotta be conniving to get your way.
That's not
tired of being the nice. Yeah, she's tired of being the nice girl.
But she was never the nice girl. She was a skater. She was
which was one of the worst gimmicks.
Yeah, because she carried the skateboard with her.
Yeah, like you can tell that she didn't even know how to skate. That was the bad part.
I suspend my disbelief. Keenan says the only flaw I have with heel Cora is that I wish she did more moves in her moveset. I mean, people will say that when you're a heel, you could do less, but I don't really know. Like, at least Triple H was a blue blood who got mad and angry. I don't know what Cora Jade is or who she is. It's just like,
I mean, I'd say with all, you know, she just came back. You know, let's see how she does. Maybe on a build up to like a take, not a takeover, but
takeover.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of those, whatever they call the PLEs now. Yeah,
Vengeance Day, I think, is in the next one.
Yeah. You know, obviously, like, she can talk. You know, she's got, she looks up to certain people. And I think what I'd love to see, and I don't know if you've talked about it before, I'd love to see someone come and kind of be on camera. And it doesn't have to be every week, but just something to kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'd love to see AJ Lee at some point come in and kind of, maybe pass along the torch to like an Roxanne or a Cora.
She's doing well. She's busy.
I haven't seen her. I went to not the last Wow tapings, but the one before then. She wasn't there.
I like Wow, and I don't want to bag on that thing. I watch it every week. I wish I was on commentary, man. I feel like there's so much story that gets shown in that ring that does not get mentioned.
Next tapings, we should go. I get free tickets.
Yeah, well, who doesn't get free tickets? But let's go.
Oh, really?
Let's
go. Wow. I thought that was special.
No, but support Wow. It's my dad's favorite show. It's a one wrestling show we still bond over, so we call each other every week. Like, man.
I think it's only a matter of time, and it doesn't have to be on camera, but I think with all those visits that CM Punk makes to the PC, I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Lee comes in and maybe does like a promo class. I think AJ Lee is like on a league of her own when it came to promos, and she was great in the ring as well. But I think somebody like, especially Roxanne, great in the ring, but I think her promos are a little non-convincing. And I think Cora... Yeah, like her promos aren't bad. Like the substance is there, but going back to what I said about Ariana Grace, that's what's missing in Cora Jade's promos. A little bit more conviction, you know? She just kind of goes through the lines in some ways. So I'd like to see maybe somebody like an AJ Lee come in and kind of help polish them both off, as that sounded weird. Help polish their promos, you know, for both Roxy and Cora.
I'm with you. I'm down with that. All is a good idea, but no, really. Wow. If you need some commentary, if you wanted to do like a, you know how Nickelodeon has like football games for kids. If you want to do WoW like alternate cast, you can let me know. But let's talk about someone else who seems to be in the NXT in the mix. Bron Breakker, the presumptive main roster call-up for almost 2 years now, had a match against Nathan Frazier, the man who is all about speed. Love the interaction Nathan Frazier had with Axiom. I think they did their own side quests, but Bron Breakker made quick work of this. So, on the show, we say Bron Breakker is ready to be called up, but he's there. Nathan Frazier hasn't really become the victor of anything of merit in a long time. What's going on with these two men?
I think Bron Breakker is just kind of making sure that he remains hot. Because what the last thing that he wants is, because let's be real, like Raw and SmackDown are freaking jam-packed. So with Bron Breakker, it looks like we're going to see some of Bron and Baron Corbin. But in the meantime, yeah, he's doing his thing. He's, you know, still delivering the best spear in the business.
Really?
Who do you think has a better one?
I'm just asking. I never think it was a ranking system. It was Charlotte Flair, but I mean, she's on the show.
Really? You thought Charlotte was better than Bron Breakker?
I thought Charlotte, as far as technique, yes. As far as impact, I would rather take a Charlotte spear than someone twice her size. But
yeah. I mean, honorable mention is Edge, but, you know, ooh, I think his Edge. Oh, Adam Copeland.
No, we don't talk about that guy on the show. We don't.
Well, Edge was the one that delivered that spear at WrestleMania 17 to Jeff Hardy.
Hold on. I got to stop the show. It's talking about the worst spear ever is from that man. Like, I've never felt like this man would, like, hug you and then fall down. It wasn't the Gore.
Yeah.
It wasn't Roman. It wasn't Goldberg. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't Bobby Lashley. Like, come on.
I feel like that was more arm. Then
yes,
yeah.
But anyway, as somebody who speared illegally when I played football for 2 weeks,
and as far as Nathan Frazier goes, yeah, I mean, I think he's just doing his thing. I don't see him getting called. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I say called up just because I think NXT is kind of back to that where it's like, when is that person going to get called up? So I think that's what it's all about for a lot of these guys. But you know, I think he's just there. I don't see him.
My problem with Nathan Frazier is very much the same problem I have with a lot of people on the roster. It's fantastic talent, very fast. Was the former Heritage Cup champion, but I don't really understand what he is. Is he someone who's just going to be like a luchador without a mask? Is he giving me those hard hitting truths like his talk show? Like, I don't know what flavor of Nathan I'm getting week to week. I thought the stuff with him and Axiom, this being like fighters by day and comedic bodies by night, is hilarious. I want to see more of that personally.
Yeah.
I think they might not get into the promised land.
Yeah, I mean, I do think when they get in the ring together, I think it is magic. I think that could be one of those feuds that we saw maybe like a Dynamite Kid Tiger Mask from back in the day, where it's just like, yeah, I mean, they don't really need a story. Just put them in the ring and they'll have everybody going, wow.
I guess I saw that last week. Did you send me that clip?
Which one?
The Dynamite Kick Tiger Mask feud. Did you? Well, it's kind of odd you said that because I actually watched that last week. Speaking about something I thought I watched before, but I didn't. Joe Gacy, Joe Coffey, in a match where I was still surprised that Joe won, but the Joe I thought was going to win. Gacy, the most unhinged person in all the roster, doing things under the ring and backstage, gets a win over a very beatable Gallus. Walk me through this one because I have nothing but questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got the same question as you. I think Gallus should be called up. I mean, I don't know what they'd do, but it just seems like with the rising tag team division, I think they'd be perfect for that. But then, yeah, you have Joe Gacy, who I guess they're doing something. I'm not going to sit there and say I'm looking forward to whatever it is that he's doing. I don't think it's bad, but I'm not like going to be like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. I mean, at least they got him doing something, you know. Diet's no more, so I feel like, oh, okay, well, good for them. But yeah, I'm very apathetic to it. I'm not excited about it, but I'm also not hating on it.
Yeah,
I know that's kind of a cop out, but
it is a cop out. But I always feel this when it comes to entertainment. This is why you should always allow yourself to be whelmed when it comes to things. So I perform comedy, and I stop. I'm serious. I perform comedy.
I didn't know that was a word.
Yeah, like I never ask friends if they like it or not, because if they love it, they'll tell you. If they hate it, they'll tell you something. And if they thought it was mid, they'll probably shut up. Let them do that. Now, I don't understand what Joe Gacy is doing. I'm actually more intrigued than this, but I get it. There's some storylines that happen in wrestling now. Like, I go, I don't care. Let me go with the next one. So allow yourself to have that. It's a variety show, you know?
Yeah, I know he's got that indie background. I know he was a kind of a bit of a, I don't want to say he was a deathmatch wrestler, but he had that CZW Combat Zone kind of style back in the day. So, you know, I'm sure he's excited that he doesn't have to tear up his body and bleed on a regular basis. But yeah, so I know he can go. I know he's a great wrestler. I know if anything, maybe it's a little unfair to make the comparison, but I know when the Dyad was doing his thing, a lot of people were kind of comparing maybe to like a Bray Wyatt, to that kind of Wyatt family-esque, that kind of, you know, does promos, but cool, also kind of like a little, you know, uneasy in a good way. So it does kind of suck kind of seeing him floundering in some ways, or maybe not having a clear cut direction, or maybe they do, maybe they're doing something that they already know what they're going to go with them. But, you know, but like I said, at least he's on TV figuring it out, as opposed to not being on TV and wondering if he's even going to get used again. So again, by all means, kudos to that.
Just to clarify, I'm a fan of this Joe Gacy storyline only because of what was left. Because here is a man that has, if you want to be real technical about it, has changed a bunch. He was doing the tolerance thing. He was doing the cult thing. Yeah. He was like, he had shifted. So I remember when he got like written up by Fox News being like, yes, finally a character is going to.
I remember that.
Well, culture, but things have changed. Things have evolved. And Fox News. Yeah, I know. It was weird. Just as long as they don't draw it out like when MSK was looking for the Shaman for 7 weeks. As long as they don't do like one of those, then I think we'll be fine. But that's just me. Shout to Fox News, apparently.
I don't know. I remember that. It's so crazy how like it's crazy. Yeah, crazy. It's so crazy that like, you know, yeah, Fox News getting all like, oh my god, I'm so excited. And it's like, dude, you're getting worked, bro.
So Lola Vice and her abs, apparently, along with Electra Lopez, meets LWO, and it was a bit of a reunion, but Lola didn't seem all too enthused. What's going on there with the women's NXT breakout tournament winner?
I relate to Lola in so many ways. I wouldn't call myself antisocial. I wouldn't call myself an introvert, but I don't know. I have some friends that are very like, these are my friends and you're my friends, so you guys should all be friends. And I'm always like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like I'm not friends just by association. I'd rather, you know, be friends.
That's literally the definition of antisocial. That is literally the definition.
No. Cause like, I mean, by old antisocial is more like, oh, you know, I don't want to go out. I don't want to hang out with people. I know I'm all for hanging out with people. I'm just saying like just because they're your friends doesn't mean that they're my friends.
I'm all for hanging out with people, but I have to know them first. That's antisocial. That is literally the definition.
I think there's a lot of gray area. I think it depends on the settings.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. It's just that thing. Like, you ever seen the SNL sketch? I forgot who it was with, but it was like a lot of like their friends go out with each other, but then now like those friends leave. Now they're all like, oh, what do we do now? Like, we don't really know each other. So it's like,
I've been there. It is awkward. But I can tell you I'm antisocial. Like, but you said I'm not antisocial.
I don't think I am. We'll talk more about it later. I have a whole thing. You'll see, you know. This is like After Buzz, where it's like, oh hey, we're all friends, we're all talking about the same thing, but it's more like oh hey, like, you know, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so my point is I relate to Lola in many ways, but I wouldn't say she's antisocial, but yeah, I get it. At the end of the day, I get it. You know, we don't gotta be friends just because, you know, you got history with Elektra. But I don't know. I wanted to ask you, did you kind of see this as they're back on NXT, or they were just visiting?
I took it as they're just visiting. As far as the match next week, the six man tag with Dragon Lee against the three members of the No Quarter Catch Crew. However, I do think this may be the start of a rebuild with the LWO with Electro, like as intended. Now that Santos has the former Los Lotharios, Angel Garza and Humberto, this may be an LWO 2.0 with Electro and whatever. So I think that seed was planted.
But you think they're doing at the 2.0, but in NXT then?
I think they're going to test it on NXT, sure, but I still think they're SmackDown talent. Like I can definitely see the Lola Vice heel turn on Elektra. I can see LWO taking back Elektra and then them re-debuting with Rey and Zelina as a bigger front, a different front.
Because Lola hasn't said anything about when she's going to cash in her championship contract, right? Okay.
Because Blair Davenport's number one contender because she's the Iron
Survivor. But it doesn't have to be for the women's championship.
It doesn't, but the tag team thing is a cop-out gimmick that no one likes. Same with Austin Theory challenging for the U.S. title. It's definitely possible, but who cares? Who wants that?
But also, like, when Roxanne and Cora, or Roxanne cashed in with Cora, now those championships don't exist anymore. So
right, totally worth it. No Quarter Catch Crew, it's still the most awkward name to say for a tag team.
Honestly, I'm not really feeling that group.
The group or the name?
The group. And
but they work hard like a diamond mine.
I don't know.
It's Catch Point.
It's all right. Yeah, I know. What? I know it very is like diamond mine, like, oh, just a bunch of wrestlers. I'd like to see more from Damon Kemp. It feels like they see something in him, and maybe they see something in him. And I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I'm not saying that I'm not a fan. I'm just saying, like, whatever it is they see, I'd like to see that as well.
This is the super group, man. You got Drew Gulak from Catch Point.
Gulak.
You got Damon Kemp from Diamond Mine. You got Charlie Dempsey from The Family when on NXT UK with TL Man and Raja Smith. I forget his name. Yeah, I'm dying. But anyway, super group.
And Miles Bourne.
I mean, you got to get one new guy in there. He's a Randy Orton of Evolution. Keenan says, I can see Dom being an LWO for some reason. Now, the question becomes, LWO face then or LWO heel then?
No, Dom. It's crazy how good and how over Dom is to the point where, like, going to the LWO would be beneath him.
Wow. Well, Judgment Day needs to do something. That's kind of on its third chapter, you think?
How dare you?
I'm not saying to get rid of it. I'm just saying like something has, like a dynamic has to change. I like the fact that Dane.
Yeah, his name's R-Truth.
Right. Now, look, I like Judgment Day. I like R-Truth. I like dumb, quote unquote, R-Truth. But to me, it just seems kind of tired. It's like, really, really, dog? You think? Okay.
Is it because that we kind of saw the same with Bloodline and Sami Zayn, and now you're like, oh, I know what they're doing now.
No, I think with the R-Truth injury, that's totally not the point of the show because it's an NXT show. With the R-Truth injury and seeing him being a good person in real life and everyone has things for him, and we saw his music video, it's like I don't buy him being that ditzy anymore. Before it felt like it was him. Did he fall on his head? Is little Jimmy really real? Now it feels like Ron Killings is putting on the dumb coat to make this work. And it works, people laugh. Okay, great. It's fire for the thing watching it live, it's great. But when I watch like recaps, I go, Truth, you should be doing something now.
What if he's doing it intentionally
to undermine the Judgment Day?
No, just in general. It's like, you know, like, hey man, this is me, this is who I am. I'm gonna be fun, I'm gonna be happy, I'm gonna do my thing, and you know,
yeah,
at the end of the day, I'm just getting under your skin.
If that's him in character, then I'll,
yeah, okay, the character, yeah,
I'm okay with that. But if it's him really doing it, I was like, no, we totally see the seams, you know what I mean? I just want to see more because Killings is R-Truth is a legend, man, and future Hall of Famers. Like, give me something else. You have more years behind you than ahead of you. Give me something fresh instead of doing something good before first. All right. We got two more matches on this one, on the socket. Out the Mud, Lucian Price and Bronco Nima took on Chase U at the start of the show with Out the Mud getting the win. Now, the whole Chase U financial thing, I don't really quite understand. They're taking on new students, Riley Osborne. They got Stacks and Tony D in the audience. You got Lucian Price and Bronco Nima saying they're going to help him out, but beating him up at the same time. What gives?
What is the Out of the Muds, like, what's their gimmick? Well, are they just thugs?
So, unfortunately, it was Price and Nima were just friends that grew up in the same block.
Yeah.
But then the only person that understands them and where they come from is Scripps. So I guess now they're just hustlers and street guys. But originally it was a friendship between Neiman and Price.
So that's it? They're just friends who wrestle?
They're friends from the hood. Yeah. Like, but Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes was that when they got to be on TV at first. So I was willing with that to be their intro gimmick, but you're right. It is pretty thin.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really buying what I'm seeing so far. I think the Chase U, I think there needs to be a little bit more clarity of what exactly is going on. As far as like, wait, so what exactly did Andre Chase do to, you know?
He misappropriated funds.
But like, what does that mean?
No one knows. What
I
mean?
Yeah, it's like, I think now is the time to kind of get into like, let's get into the specific, let's break it down.
Do you need specifics? Like Roman Reigns is a tribal chief, but we never see the tribe. We never see him do anything else off camera. He just shows up, he goes, I'm a chief. And we go, okay.
But I buy it. I believe it.
But you know? Of what though? Who's he chiefing around?
Of the Samoans.
Right. But I say that's all off camera. It's all your imagination implying and inferring.
No, you had the Wild Samoans come out.
That was one time. But we.
That's all you need. They're not going to crown a king more than one time.
When you see Roman Reigns go off TV for 2 months, what do you think he's doing? What tribal business week to week does a chief do? We don't know. And we don't ask.
I don't know. Paul Heyman seems to talk to him a lot.
Not the... Anyway, I like Lucian Price. He's a star in the making.
And I like Roman Reigns.
I like Roman Reigns too. I'm just saying. Of the four guys in the ring, I think Price has a big future. Duke Hudson too, but I think Price might be the next wave.
Yeah, I like that. The Duke's another guy that like, remember when NXT 2.0 first started? He was like the poker player or whatever.
I remember before that when he was the guy that wore dress clothes for no reason, then became a poker player.
Yeah, I remember before then when he was on Monday Night Raw because, you know, everyone else had COVID apparently as Brendan Vink.
Yeah.
Brendan Vick, whatever his name is.
6'5", Brendan Vink.
Yeah. So I'm happy. Like, he's got like a great look. Unfortunately, like, that's going to be weird to say. I feel bad for saying because who the hell am I? But like, he doesn't have like a standout look. He's just tall with a great body. And he doesn't have that like personality that like, you know, like an R-Truth or whatnot, right. You know, but he can do whatever you need him to do. And he's becoming that guy where it's like, in a good way, where it's like, you need this person. Let's hit up Chase or Duke Hudson. You need one of these people. Let's hit up Duke Hudson. Like, I like that he's showing that he can do whatever is being asked of him. So I think they think highly of him as well for, you know, knowing that he can do all those things. So kudos to him.
So I'm actually with you to a point. When he was Duke Hudson, the poker guy, I kind of liked the fact he was big and but like very like nonchalant and like laid up on the ring when you showed up. It was kind of like, all right, I'm gonna go kill you now, but let's do it. But yeah, when he took over Brody's spot in KCU, was kind of like, yeah, hold this trophy, which I really forgot how he won it. I know he was the MVP, but I forgot how he won it. I walk around with this. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that too.
Yeah. Let's get to the other side of the men's breakout tournament. Tavion Heights, which went almost a Cinderella run against Obafemi, my pick to win it all in a fantastic match. A powerbomb wasn't the strongest last week, but Obafemi, I think, is an instant star in the making, win or lose. Thoughts about the match, and thoughts about Oma's promise for the finals next week.
So what I just said about Duke Hudson, about like, you know, he's great and all those things, but he doesn't really stand out when it comes to like, I guess, the airport test. Obafemi is the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you see that guy, and not just like, oh, man, he's going to be a big star. You just see that guy, you're like, he's going to be something. Like, he just has a presence about him. And yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with him. The match was good as the match is what it needed to be. You know, we're not seeing these. I wish we used to say 5-star classic, but we're not going to see these like match of the year type classics. You know, on when it comes to these kind of matches. But it was exactly what it needed to see. It was what it needed to be. And kudos to both guys. And can't wait to see the final match next week.
I'm with you with Oba, man. Look, he looks a certain way, and he has a hint of heritage that gets overdone sometimes, a la Apollo Crews when he was a Nigerian prince, let's be real. But then I do think there is something to be said about his facials as well, because when he was lining up Tavion, it looked like he was going to kill him. But so, Obafemi, Riley Osborne, my two favorites, are going to be in the finals. Who's your pick?
It's going to be Obafemi. There's no way that, you know, I'm not saying there's no way, but Obafemi is going to be on a tear like we've never seen before.
Oh, well, if that's the case, put me on. Shout out to Commander Aziz, who's watching from catering. All right, let's move on. There's two more things. One, we got the Blair Davenport, Lyra Valkyria stare down. I think Lyra Valkyria wins this one next week, but Blair Davenport always seems to be a bridesmaid, man. What's up with that?
I think they kind of brought her, and she's got that she's kind of very similar to Dijak to me. By the way, you know she's going out with Riley Osborne in real life?
Oh, wow. Didn't know.
Yeah, sorry. I know you probably thought that. Wait. I thought Thea Hill was into him, but
everything is everyone's screens. So
yeah, I think they got engaged like a week ago or so. So good for them. Wow. Congrats to them. There. Yeah. I mean, I'm not spilling tea. I'm just saying like they're the ones that put it on social media, and you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw in the Nathan Frazier Thea Hill photos from Tottenham. Yeah.
kind of. It's still real to me, damn it. You know. So whatever.
It is real to me.
Yeah, so I kind of get upset whenever, like, wait, what? They're not together in real life. She Blair Davenport kind of has that Dijak role where the kind of she's got obviously the world, she had the global experience working in, you know, Japan, and she was in Stardom for a little bit. So they kind of need that somebody to kind of help, you know, guide the new generation. And I think that's what we're seeing, even though Lyra, you know, she's not so bad herself, obviously working all over Ireland and, you know, Europe and whatnot. But you know, I'm excited to see the clash of the styles next week, and I think it's going to be one of the best matches of New Year's Evil.
Pun intended. Keenan says, I can see where Riley Osborne tries to be quick and ducks a lot of Oba moves. I think so, too. I can't believe I'm saying this, but can a shooting star press get over in 2023?
not on Oba Femi.
All right, so let's talk about the NXT year-end awards. There are 5 awards given out. Tag Team of the Year, The Creeds, Female Superstar, Tiffany Stratton, Male Superstar, Ilya Dragunov, Match of the Year, Melo Dragunov 3 at NXT No Mercy, and Moment of the Year, Undertaker at NXT After Melo Braun Breaker. Any surprises? Anything else you wanted to add?
Male Superstar of the Year, it should have gone to him. I think Ilya, he's not bad, but like I think
more Melo, months for Carmelo's. Yeah,
sure. I think Melo carried it, but just like the thing he did throughout the year was just, oh my god, like that guy's ready. And I mean, obviously, I'm excited to see what he, you know, I love what he did on SmackDown with obviously Kevin Owens and Grayson Waller, and even the match with Kevin Owens was like, man, that guy's ready. So, I'm excited to see what he does. But yeah, I think it should have been him. I think he's the one that kind of was the face of NXT this year, and it should have gone to him.
I agree with you. No disrespect to Ilya Dragunov, but more months for Carmelo. It got to the point where people maybe didn't even like NXT would go, who's this guy? And to me, the trust is there. I mean, if you saw the Cody Rhodes documentary, he trained Cody ahead of Mania last year. Like, you don't get to do that if you're not good at what you do. So shout out to Christian Casanova. They should have been that guy. But as we wind this down, man, it's now time for my Booker T. While you wind this down, man, it's now time for my favorite shot of the show. It's the MVP of NXT. Jordan, I get to ask you, who was one competitor that stuck out for you over anyone else this week on NXT?
This week, it's got to be Oba Femi, man. Like, that guy is on a trajectory that is like no other. At the end of the day, you can have a lot of things go on. A lot of things happen, you know, and a lot of great things happen, but who's the one that stands out and who's the one that you kind of want to see progress and want to see their next step? And that's going to be Oba Femi.
Which is crazy because I felt the same way about Odyssey Jones a year ago, but now I'm on the Oba Femi train, you know? You get the wrong end, you have the small window in that main roster. Yeah. But Oba is on a new level. Not to bear anybody, but I had Riley Osborne as my MVP for very similar reasons. Here's somebody who got the biggest upset of the night. I thought NXT UK guy, I'm always going to have that bias. Of course, the Hail storyline is always good for the entertainment portion. Riley Osborne, to me, was a through line on this episode of NXT. Keenan asked you, though. He says, is there any main roster guys you want to see in NXT?
Main roster? Man, where do I begin?
No, we are the main roster. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, Jesus, I just want to see, and again, this isn't a demotion, but the same way that we're seeing like Becky Lynch and you know, all these people go down to NXT, or I said go down, but just go to NXT, you know, I'd like to see somebody like, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. You go first.
Oh, I want Punk versus Braun Breaker. Oh. And Punk wins with the Anaconda Vice. That's what I want to see. That's what if I could do anything, sure. And have a Cody Rhodes match would be cool, but I think that'd be only good in like a tag team situation. because it's kind of like you already did the whole like splash, but CM Punk down there in Orlando having a match with Bron Breakker or Dijak and winning with a submission to say he can still be technical would be great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like you got so many great tag teams too that are kind of on the come up. You know, I'd like to see somebody like maybe like Sami Zayn and KO maybe go down there for like a week or two, you know, just kind of mix it up with some of those guys. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Sami Zayn go back there. He hasn't done anything in NXT. I know some people, you know, you saw Becky Lynch, John Cena, Finn Balor, but Sami Zayn hasn't gone to NXT, right? In this kind of
no, I think he's not even 2.0. I think he's been since the end of 1.0 either, like the Wings and Skulls era when Finn Balor came back.
He's got a lot of history there, and we even kind of saw Kevin Owens do that spot in War Games, right? A couple years
ago. He should have stayed. I still believe he should stay down there. I mean, I got so hyped when he did that.
But. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Sami Zayn mixed up with some of these guys.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 130 of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop of NXT content. Full of voice here being joined by George and Moses. But George, if I want to follow you and connect with you once more, how I go about doing that?
You can follow me on all social media, Ghermoza, Ghermoza. You can follow the Wrestling Chatter, youtube.com/The Wrestling Chatter. More great content is going to be hopefully coming up on 2024.
All right, Micro Machines by Galoo. That was super fast, but I'll make sure people follow you after this one. We'll be back next week with new episodes. New Year's Evil is in the offing. That's how we get down. And Jack Farmer's not here, but if he was, he will say, do your best, be yourself.